5. But before we go there, I want to read a few verses out of Proverbs here. And that would be Proverbs 4, verse 20. It's some wisdom that Solomon is giving. It says, "My son, attend to my words." That's Proverbs 4:20. "My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh." 23 says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established." So keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And put away a froward mouth, perverse lips, let your eyes look straight ahead. Ponder the path of your feet, and let your ways be established. Okay, that's just a little bit of some wisdom that Solomon had written there for his son, I believe. But I'd like to look at Acts chapter 5 here and take some lessons from Ananias and Sapphira. And, Acts chapter 5, we'll read verse 1 through 11. But before that, let's back up to chapter 4, verse 32, and we'll get some background to this just a little bit. It says, "And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart, of one soul, and of one soul. Neither said of any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold, and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. And Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted, the son of consolation, a Levite, and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it, and brought the money, and laid it at the apostles' feet." Okay, so Joseph here, or Barnabas, he was the man, he sold land, brought the money, and laid it down. Not sure why it mentions him by name, but okay, so he did that. He sold a piece of land and brought the money in. I don't know how much money it would have been, but he just plopped it down and said, "Here you go." Okay, now Acts 5, it says, "But a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whilst it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God." And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. And great fear came on all them that heard these things. And the young men arose, wound him up, and carried him out, and buried him. And it was about the space of 3 hours after, when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter answered unto her, "Tell me, whether ye sold the land for so much?" And she said, "Yea, for so much." Then Peter said unto her, "How is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and shall carry thee out." Then fell she down straightway at his feet and yielded up the ghost, and the young man came in and found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. And great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things. Okay, so there's kind of a dramatic story here in Acts chapter 5. There, if you think about it, this was a brand new group of believers. It was a brand new, a lot of these concepts were just different. They were different, totally radical, different from what they had thought of. There's There is several things that I'd like to notice here. One is, what attitudes do you see that appear in this story? Just from Ananias, just from what we see here, what attitudes do we see that are written, that are here in this story? Just anyone, if you think of anything, just feel free to say it. Okay, want to be seen as important. Okay? So we want to be seen as important. Anything else? Okay, so they're hypocritical. Why do you say that? Okay, so hypocritical. Want to be seen as important. Anything else? Okay, it's selfish, yep. All right, so yeah, they want to be seen as important and hypocritical, selfish. Okay, so what else? There's another one in here too that there's a desire for things. They wanted to hold on to what they had. They didn't. They wanted to look like they wanted to look important, and they wanted to be kind of like. Well, it looks like they wanted to be like Barnabas because it mentioned him right before that. They wanted to be like this man. And but they kind of didn't really want to give everything. They wanted to keep some of it for themselves, but they also wanted to look like they gave it all. So they were hypocritical, wanted to look important, and were selfish. Wanted to, there was a desire to be well thought of, and they lied, make it look like they were something they weren't. And I also wrote down, they also had the attitude that what Peter doesn't know won't hurt him, you know. He just, you know, we'll just tell him we did this and it won't hurt Peter at all. Ananias also involved his wife in the scheme here. So together with his wife, his wife was privy to it, and he involved her in the scheme. But Sapphira was also agreed with it. Because she lied too. She had a choice to make it right when by herself, but she also lied. The desire to be well thought of, and it also appears that they were motivated by peer pressure. In other words, with Barnabas doing this, and there was others doing this, they thought, well, we'll do it too. So they sold their property. But you know what? They weren't all bad. I shouldn't say they weren't all bad, and what they did was bad, but they actually were part of this group. They were some of the ones that had repented earlier. They were part of the group, evidently, and were willing to make a change to this new gospel that they, or not say new gospel, this gospel that they had heard. Okay. For the children here, I kind of wrote, I hope this isn't too elementary here, but I wanted to read, I wrote kind of a story, kind of in my own words here about this. But Ananias and Sapphira, they had some means here. But just suppose that Ananias was an energetic young man. He was full of dreams. Him and Sapphira set goals. They worked hard building their business. It prospered slowly, but finally they were able to make a loan, purchase their very own property. After great sacrifices and much hard work, they finally paid this mortgage off on their land. Now, they said, we will finally get ahead, and then we will enjoy life. Ananias and his wife were devout Jews. But one day when they were at the temple, they came across a man preaching outside in the street. On the first day this happened, they kind of dismissed it. But they heard parts of it. It got them to thinking. Second, the third, and the fourth days, they listened. But the fifth day, Ananias went ahead. He was baptized along with many others, including his wife. And they became part of this brand new group of believers. And they met every day to fellowship and learn about this new way of life. But something was happening among these believers that somewhat disturbed Ananias and his wife. They heard of people selling their possessions, valuable possessions, livestock, clothes, tools, even their houses and land, and then of all things, giving all of that money to the church, didn't even keep any of it. Well, just last week, there was a Jew from Cyprus named Barnabas that sold a piece of land, a big piece of land, brought all the money. There was quite a bit, too, quite a bit of money he got for it, laid it down at the apostles' feet. This was amazing, and people talked about it. Ananias came home one evening and said, "Sapphira, I've been thinking, and I've come up with a plan. You know that land that we bought a while back? Why don't we sell that and give some of the money? Give some of the money to the church. But let's not give it all. Let's just give about half of it. We'll get a good price, and they'll never know the difference. And besides, we'll still be able to enjoy life like we've dreamed about. And this way, everyone will think of us just like they did of Barnabas, and we'll get to stay on track with our goals. It's not fair to ask us, or after all, it's not fair to ask us to give it all away. What do you think of this?" And Sapphira said, "I think that's a good plan. Let's do it." And of course they did. But anyway, the reason I was thinking of that, would Ananias and Sapphira fit in our church? If they walked in the door and wanted to become members, would they fit in our church? I'm not pointing fingers at anyone here, but some of the attitudes that were displayed by Ananias and Sapphira here are things that in our own hearts can take root. They can grow. And I'll just go over those attitudes again. The desire to be well thought of. You know, every one of us likes to be well thought of. We want to be well thought of. And, you know, to a degree, there's nothing wrong with that unless we sacrifice principles to be well thought of and don't do things that we should in order to be well thought of. What about being hypocritical? We want to look good. We want to we want our family to look good. When we're in church, we really... Well, I do anyway. My child is making a ruckus. I don't like that because, well, it just embarrasses me. But really, is there something wrong in my life that is just coming out there? Is there other things in my life that I'm covering up to look good? What about selfishness? Sometimes us as men anyway can be selfish. We want what we want and we'll do what it takes to get what we want. But anyway, those are some things to think about. One of the lessons we can learn here, an obvious one, is that lying doesn't pay. In the light of eternity, lying does not pay. Even if for a short time if God doesn't strike us dead just for dishonesty, we will come up, if it's not repented of, it will come up short as we get to at judgment day, it will come back to haunt us at that point. And truth will win. truth wins eventually. For in this particular account, God made a dramatic example of this. So truth will win eventually. A desire for gain cost them their life. And how is it with us? Does a desire for gain cost us our life? It can, if we, depending how we do that, a desire for gain will cost them their cost. A desire for gain cost them their life. It doesn't say if children were involved here. Maybe they were too young for children, or maybe they had some that aren't recorded. But either way, this incident affected their family because they weren't able to have any after this. So a desire for gain can affect our life. Our hearts are deceitful, though. Sometimes some of these little attitudes can creep into our life and come into our heart. They can take root. Just small seeds that start. And they can cause things to, they can grow, they take root, they can grow. And before long, we can do things that we wouldn't have otherwise dreamed of doing. I don't know, just some examples here of would Ananias and Sapphira fit in our church today, or in a church today? Could they be the couple that didn't want to give anything in the offering because all their income went for living expenses and fun things, like the new swimming pool and the deck they had to add and the patio furniture and all that kind of thing? Would they be the couple that sacrificed family devotions again for the fifth evening this week because Dad had to work late on the new business that he just started? Plus, there was church Wednesday night, and that took an extra evening, so he had to make up for it on Thursday. Or could it be the husband, and you can name whatever, but could it be the husband involved in playing the lottery on the side, and he's blowing a substantial portion of the family's income, trying to strike it rich once and for all, and his wife helps him cover things up when people ask questions because it's just too embarrassing? Because after all, no one else needs to know this. Or could it be the couple spending more than they can afford to fix up the house, to drive new vehicles, buy the best tools, or stay up to date on the latest whatever, so their friends and anyone else they meet will think well of them, rather than focusing on the things that do matter? I don't know, those are just some thoughts that I had to think about. And this thing of these small attitudes growing in our hearts, they start as small things and they seem small. They really seem small. And yet, they can grow into bigger things. But Ananias and Sapphira were real people. And they faced pressures and temptations just like we do. And they did make the right decision. They recognized that this gospel was something that they could identify with. This was something that they thought was something that would work for their family. But when Satan put it into their heart to be deceitful, even if others could think well, put it into their heart to be deceitful so others would think well of them, they got off track a little bit. And then when they lied about it to Peter or to the apostles there, God used this in a way that as it made an example of this for other people's learning. And that's what I want us to do, is to learn from an example, from their example. Uh, let's check our own hearts. We can do that ourselves. See what is in there. And if there's correction that needs to be made, let's have the courage to make corrections. We're the only ones that can see exactly what's in our hearts, but the only way others can see what's in our hearts is by what we do. So let's check our hearts and weed out those thoughts and attitudes that take us in a wrong direction. And let's do all that we can to glorify God. Let's have a goal of serving Him and being a builder in His kingdom. And let's lay aside any weight that would come upon us and keep us from getting to that goal. Okay, I believe that's all I have for this morning here. Let's stand for prayer.